Hello, and thank you for listening to Roots and Wings, a podcast produced by the Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth. I'm Jonquil Newland. On this episode of Roots and Wings, we're diving into a topic that impacts nearly every person who is raising their children: childcare and the rising costs of it. Tennessee's average childcare costs between $7,500 and $8,500 every year, with costs being a little higher for infant care. Every month on average, infant care costs about $830. For toddlers, about $770 a month. And for children 2 years old and up, it's about $674 a month. There are several challenges facing the childcare market. Outside of the expense to families, we must also consider the low wages of workers, lack of infrastructure in many areas, and the relatively small amount of governmental support. The Commission on Children and Youth's most recent Kids Count data book highlights just how much Tennesseans are forking over for childcare. In Tennessee, toddler care costs almost as much as in-state college tuition, and infant care costs even more. Due to those rising costs, in 2021, about 1 in 8 Tennessee parents of young children made job changes due to childcare problems. There are state partners and organizations working to make childcare more accessible and affordable for Tennesseans. Gwen Losser is the Director of Childcare Services for the Department of Human Services and joins me now. Gwen, thank you so much for being a guest on Roots and Wings.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. I want to go just jump right into it, Gwen. I would love for you to be able to describe and help us understand what tools are available to help Tennesseans find safe, affordable, good childcare.
That's a great place to start. So one of the things I wanted to mention is really when a family starts looking for childcare, that they're using the tools and resources that are available to them. And of course, on our website at tn.gov for childcare services, we do have a childcare find locator that is available. It's a consumer website. It does have all licensed childcare agencies regulated through the Tennessee Department of Human Services, as well as those agencies that are regulated through the Department of Education that are listed on the website. And within, they can click, a family can go and they can click on a radius from where they live or from where they work if they want to search childcare that's available within their local area. They can also search on other criteria. They can search for hours. They can search for different types of, like, if it's a family who's qualifying for childcare payment assistance support, they can search on those agencies that offer that option, or if they offer transportation, they're needing transportation, they can search on that criteria as well. So this is one of the tools that is available. It also lists on there the capacity that an agency is licensed or approved to serve. And we just launched a new feature for our consumer website that the childcare agencies can report if they have any vacancies. So this is another tool that's available. One of the things I think is very important is when a family is getting ready to look for a program for their child, they want to make certain that the program is going to meet their needs. And one of the things I think is key is look for that license or that approval certificate. That way the family knows that, for one thing, this agency is providing a safe, health, and educationally rich environment, that they are receiving supports and resources from the regulatory authority that creates opportunities for that child to be successful in those environments. And if a family is choosing to locate an individual, then it's also important to know that by Tennessee state law, that someone who is providing child care for up to 4 children unrelated to them, that is perfectly fine. But I think, too, that a family should have their list of questions that they want to ask, you know, that are important to them about maybe the activities that their child's going to be engaged in throughout the day. What kind of meals are going to be provided? Do I need to bring my own meals? Just anything that's important to you in making certain that your child is being cared for during the day and into what your expectations are as well.
Yeah, absolutely great advice, Gwen. Thank you so much for that. And in the intro that you guys heard me talking about just a few moments ago, I was specifically talking about numbers, right, and the rising costs. And can you discuss a little bit about any programs or services that are available to Tennesseans that can help lower the cost of childcare?
Thank you. Yes, we do have child care payment assistance that is available to families who qualify or meet certain criteria. They can apply directly to the Department of Human Services for that child care payment assistance. We have several programs and opportunities where a family can access our services for child care. Some of those are maybe tied to benefits. If they are receiving TANF benefits and participating in the Family's First program, they can receive child care as a support service that way. Or if that is a family and they're either working at least an average of 30 hours a week, or they're engaged in a post-secondary education program, they can apply for our Smart Steps Child Care Payment Assistance Program. It serves children birth to age 5, and it goes up to the 85th percentile of state median income in order to qualify. And that is adjusted every year on an annual basis, beginning in October on the latest data that we receive for that. And then there's other opportunities. We heard so much coming out of COVID that one of the barriers to employment was childcare. And so we partnered with our friends at the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to offer an opportunity for families who are participating in the Reemployment Services Program that they could be referred over as for that child care support while they continue with job search to obtain employment. So we were trying to find opportunities as well to reduce any barriers or challenges to employment by offering those services.
Absolutely. And you know, there's always a sweet spot, right, too, Gwen? Because, you know, my follow-up question to that, I know there's families who make too much for the actual child care assistance program, but not enough to comfortably afford around $800 a month. And that niche of people's number, rather, it seems to be getting larger. It gets bigger. Are there any resources for them as well?
So there are many employers, larger employers, that are beginning to offer incentives for their workforce through child care, supporting child care cost. Tyson Foods in Gibson County, they opened a facility a few years ago, and one of the areas that they wanted to support their employees with was based on a survey that they conducted, and they saw that healthcare costs and child care costs were two areas that families were most interested in seeing some type of support. And so Tyson approached that work with finding a way to offer childcare to stabilize their workforce. And so they, a year ago, engaged with KinderCare to operate their child care facility. This has been in planning mode for about 4 years now, and it came to fruition in July of this year where they opened their doors. And what they're trying to really do is offer little or no cost to their employees through this facility. And so their employees first apply for the child care payment assistance. If they're eligible for the payment assistance, they get that subsidy support. And then Tyson is paying any cost difference up to a certain amount. So the family is really only responsible for that small copay amount determined. And then the employees who are not eligible for the child care payment assistance, they're still getting some support through Tyson to cover the cost of the child care. So they're really, I think, one of our premier model employers in the state who are seeing the importance of child care to make certain that they do have a workforce who's showing up each day. So that's one of the resources that we're seeing to start emerging across the state, and other employers are doing the same. They're finding different models that work for them and for their workforce.
Yeah, and shout out to Tyson. I know several of my colleagues here at the commission were there in Gibson County as they were cutting the ribbon for this brand new child care center. And it was extremely exciting to know that big businesses are actually listening and then implementing things that are going to only better children and families across Tennessee. And I truly hope, I know myself and my colleagues here at the commission, it's our hope that other large companies, big brands, they see this happening, and I understand it's just new, but data will be coming around and eventually, and we'll see. I'm sure we'll see that Tyson's Maine's profits are going up, and they're holding on to their employees a lot longer, and it's just benefiting everybody. So, I mean, I could talk about this for obviously a little while, Gwen. But
me too, because it's a very exciting model, and mm-hmm. I just anytime I have an opportunity to shout them out, I do, because the investment that they've made in their community, in their workforce, mm-hmm. is just phenomenal. And I mean, they see that it's so important. It's important not only for their workforce, but for the future of the children of the families who are employed there.
Yeah, absolutely. A little while ago, Gwen, you mentioned that in the state of Tennessee, if someone wanted to take care of up to four children who weren't related to them, that was completely okay. But I know there are a lot of people who may be interested in actually becoming a certified child care provider. What is that process like? And is it a large vetting process?
So a couple of years ago, we wanted to change the focus of how we are approaching child care creation in Tennessee. And we have, within our licensing unit, we have two units. We have our field operations unit who support existing providers. And then we have a new unit. It's our pre-licensure unit. And this unit is really focused on assisting agencies with a step-by-step process in becoming licensed. And one of the key focuses that I think was missing prior to this was that the understanding that childcare is a business, first and foremost. It is a business. And so we wanted to make certain that we were creating a process that focused on business and opening your doors as a quality program. And so through the pre-licensure support, it begins with just an inquiry. Someone calls and says, hey, I may be interested in opening a child care facility. What does that look like for me? And so our team walked them through the process of what that can be, because it goes to, have you secured a building yet, a location? There is permitting that's required. There are local codes and zoning that our team helped them navigate through. There's also, you know, what is your, how many children are you anticipating to serve? What does your space look like? So they do some consulting work with the potential provider as well. And then once they have made a commitment to want to proceed, they attend an orientation, and it just goes through the process, the rules, everything that will be required of them as a child care agency licensed in the state of Tennessee. Our team walks them through these warm handoffs to one of our partners, Child Care Resource and Referral, who are conducting a small business academy. So the administrator or owner would go through that small business academy just to equip them with those tools so that they are prepared to open their doors as a sustainable program. And then they provide other trainings that are necessary to make certain that they're prepared to offer those safe, healthy, and educationally rich environments. And then if they choose to do so, they can apply for an establishment grant. And it gives them up to $1,000 per license slot of capacity, not to exceed $100,000, to purchase the equipment, materials, and supplies to open their doors, so that it's offsetting some of those operational costs in the beginning to where they can focus more on the maybe their teacher salaries. Right. So as they're getting established. And so we wanted really, again, to change that focus so that we are supporting them for success.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned grants, and grants are not loans. And grants are a blessing to really anybody. We have a grant monitoring system here, of course. And I can just say the things that some organizations we've seen do with grants is just amazing work. I'm only can assume that more childcare providers would help lower the costs across Tennessee. Is the state or the Department of Human Services specifically working on any initiatives to help recruit more service providers or doing other things that can try to help lower the cost of childcare?
So we are, through outreach, we are really actively engaged within the communities. Our director of our licensing program is engaging with employers, potential employers who would like to offer childcare programs. We are getting ready to launch a child care community hub process, which is also to help build capacity. And it's really it's a shared services type model where there's one entity that applies for the grant, and they are the administrators for opening other agencies and supporting them with those back end operation supports so that the entity can focus more on just being a child care provider and offering their programs. So they'll support them with, you know, that like the HR tasks that are associated with running a child care, managing their budgets, things like that, supporting them with those types of costs. So this is another opportunity to really focus on child care creation of slots. And so we have been more engaged and intentional in providing information at the local levels and how we can support you in opening child care. And, you know, just when people are coming to us thinking about outside of the box, so what's a potential model that would work? Sometimes several employers are coming together to think through a solution that might work best for them within their own community. And it might be that they're going together maybe as kind of a co-op approach. And it's just, you know, they can, one may be providing that operational support, one may be paying for the facilities, you know, just to try to offset some of those costs and provide that opportunity.
I feel specifically now, just in regards to the teacher shortage that's been going on, I feel like infant child care and young child care, it's kind of seen the same thing. And obviously we know teachers, I mean, they're burnout, their wages aren't the greatest, and we can go, the list goes on and on. But as you mentioned, the kind of the resources and tools that are there to help support that, wow, I mean, that's amazing work. And thank you for the work that you do with that. What are the biggest pieces of advice, Gwen, that you'd give for folks who are attempting to navigate the child care world for the first time? So obviously there's folks who have on their second or more child, but folks who have never even, this is their first child, they don't know what to do, which wait list to get on. Is there a wait list? Like, but I'm not about to have my child, or you know, what advice do you have?
So, yeah, good point. So, and it's all part of planning, right? Mm-hmm. And so as someone just entering childcare for the first time, I think familiarizing yourself with your community and where you're going to be working or where you are working, and plan, trying to plan about finding childcare that's going to be convenient, because you want to be able to get to your child quickly if necessary during the day. But another part of that is really looking at the childcare program and what they offer, and is it going to meet the needs or your expectations for your child? And also really thinking through a wait list, because potentially there will be a wait list, especially in larger communities or those communities that are really labeled as childcare deserts, where there's not enough childcare to support. And so for especially expecting mothers and fathers, you know, just to make certain that you're planning and you're looking at what is available now and getting your name on a waiting list for your child. But really, I think it's important to visit a program, and you can see how the children are being engaged throughout the day. One of the keys is the child happy? Mm-hmm. When you walk into a facility and you hear happy voices, that's a really good sign that the children are engaged and they're thriving.
Yeah, great point. And to just follow up with that real quick, Gwen, is there a time that's too soon? Like, for instance, if a young woman realizes she's pregnant and immediately just starts going down to try and put herself on all the wait lists that are available, is there a time that's too soon, or would you say that's not a bad idea?
It's probably not a bad idea to go ahead and start thinking through that, you know, especially if you're a real planner and you know when your child may be born, you know, to think through, well, I need to get on a wait list now. And most childcare agencies, they keep those wait lists updated pretty regularly, you know, moving families through and knowing that I'm on a wait list for infant care and it's been 2 years and I'm no longer going to be eligible for that infant care slot. So they're managing those and staying in communication with families.
Well said, and great information all around, Gwen. Is there anything that I did not ask that you want to make sure the listeners have on their mind or need to know about?
Well, I think another thing is that we do have a lot of resources that are available for childcare agencies to help support them in being sustainable programs. These folks are so passionate about the work they do and are really focused on making certain that everything they're doing for that child is going to create success for that child, not only in school, but in life. And so we want to make certain that we're providing them with the resources that they need. And we do that statewide and free of charge. And so they have access to training, to coaching, for folks to come into their facility, do on-site coaching and training, technical assistance. There are grants that are available to them. They can apply for every year through an enhancement grant if they need to, because we know that children go through toys very quickly, right? And so they can apply for these enhancement grants each year for that kind of a replacement or for remediation or anything that they need to do to come into compliance. If they're out of compliance with certain criteria, they can use it for consultants. So they can apply again for that once per year. There's programs that are called the Wages Program. And that is a supplement program for childcare educators who are continuing their professional development. And it's also a retention tool for childcare agencies because as long as they stay with their childcare provider, they can receive a direct supplement through the Wages Program to them twice per year. And the scale starts at $600 and goes up to $7,800. So these are some tools that we heard from childcare agencies that are needed to be able to support their workforce, their own workforce.
Great information. And I hope folks who are listening to this, if you're on either side, whether you have children that you're trying to get into childcare or you're an actual childcare provider, that you and I, Gwen, today have had a great conversation with a lot of information and good resources. So thank you for that. Anything else?
I just want to say that childcare is important. It is such an important resource for families, and I am so excited that we're seeing so many new opportunities and innovative approaches to supporting families through childcare. And again, I wanted to emphasize just the employers who are really thinking now how critical the childcare need is to sustain their workforce. And it's so exciting to see them navigate and think through how they can support that through some type of incentive.
It's an empowering to witness.
It is
empowering to witness
it
that.
Is.
And thank you. If you are an employer looking to do something similar to this, please look at the DHS website, find some of the resources that Gwen has talked about today, and really get on it, because we can't tell you at the commission this needed to happen 10 years ago. Especially with the growth that Nashville, specifically Davidson County, these areas, not only where you have childcare deserts, but then on the flip side of that, you have influx of cities with so many new people and so many new kids and not enough spaces. So this, again, it's just childcare is if you're in the business of it, you have a passion, just like most teachers that I know as well. But again, I can't thank you enough for being here, Gwen, to mention all of these resources. I thank you for being on our podcast today, and to our listeners, I appreciate your support and your continued support with the Tennessee Commission on Children and Youth. And thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of Roots and Wings. I'm Jonquil Newland.